Let's read it again, shall we?
Bible says, therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Would you read it with me tonight? Bible says, therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Don't you just love the Sermon on the Mount? King Jesus teaching us about what, church? True righteousness. We are 93 verses, 2.5 chapters, and 28 sermons into this thing. We've been at it a little while. And what we have found is this is King Jesus laying down his royal constitution, calling us to walk in true righteousness. Now, very soon, King Jesus is going to begin to wrap this thing up. In fact, the next time that we meet to go over a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, we are going to be beginning King Jesus' invitation, if you will, his call to response. And so we are going to be wrapping this thing up in the not so distant future. But this evening, what we have come to is we have come to one of those great pinnacle points of his message. We've come to one of those mountaintops, one of those climaxes. He has been building to this, and now it's here. And so King Jesus is going to take everything he has been teaching and in essence put it in this one verse. And so let's take a look as King Jesus lays down what we have come to call the golden rule. Look with me at this one verse tonight. The Bible says, therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What's that first word? Church, it is therefore. Aha! We as students of the Bible who seek to rightly divide the word of truth, when we see the word therefore, our antennas go up because we know therefore is there for a reason. And so we have to figure out what is it that Jesus is building on. So as we look to understand the golden rule tonight, we have to start by understanding the foundation of this verse. The foundation of this verse. Because when you see therefore, you look back, and you see what it's there for. So let's do a quick review. Here in chapter number 7, King Jesus has reminded us of a couple things that he is now building on now. He has reminded us first in this chapter the need, the requirement for personal character. You look back at Matthew 7 verses 4 and 5. Jesus says this, or how will you say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Verse number 5, he says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Or in other words, as we get to verse number 12, and we want to consider the golden rule, we have to understand this. We have to have proper character, that we must be right if we are going to do right concerning other people. Because in God's economy, being always comes before doing. So I need to be right. Before I let my world broaden and look at all of these other things, I need to look at myself in the mirror and make sure that I am right. Be right before I can do right. And so the foundation of this verse is a proper character must be in place. And I think this is a wonderful time to remind us as well that when it comes to proper character and it comes to true righteousness, this is something that is not earned. This is something true righteousness is given. That it is Christ's righteousness received by faith on my account. That I can't work my way to heaven, that I can't work to earn God's favor, to earn God's love, to earn God's forgiveness. I can't earn it. Because if you could, the scribes and Pharisees gave it the old college try. But you remember what Jesus said about them, except your righteousness exceed the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so I need to be right. That means I need to, number one, be in Christ. Number two, I need to be honest about myself. Because in the economy of God, being always comes before doing. So the foundation of this verse, it requires that proper character be in place. But it also requires that a proper communication or a proper confidence be in place. Because as we learned last week, this verse, verse 12, is built directly upon the verses of prayer and the confident perspective that you and I should have in God our Father. Look at verse 11, or 7 through 11 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Jesus says, "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him?" And so it's built on the confidence that we have a good Father, amen? That we have a good Father who knows our need, who provides our need, who cares for us in this life. We have a Father that we can have the utmost confidence in. And so verse number 12, if you don't have the proper character, you're never going to be able to live the golden rule. If you don't have the proper confidence, communication with your Father, you're never going to be able to live the golden rule. Do you understand tonight? The verse that we are looking at cannot be disconnected from the verses that come before it. And we can't properly deal with others until we properly deal with ourselves. And we can't properly deal with others until we properly deal with God. And I'm going to tell you this thing here. When we are told to do unto others, even so to them, or whatsoever ye would that men do unto you, do ye even so to them. I'm going to tell you, this can't be accomplished through self-confident bravado, but it can only be accomplished through spiritually confident belief. Well, let me put it this way. Our only true resource for being able to afford to live this way is because I know I have a Father who will always give me what I need to live right. Otherwise, I can't afford to live the golden rule. Because no offense, you people go cost me everything I got. And if my confidence isn't in God, how easy is it to slip into, well, I've got to look out for number one. Ain't nobody else going to do it. Yes, he will. And so we see the foundation for this verse. That our only true resource for being able to afford to live out the golden rule, the only true resource we have to be able to afford to do right by others, comes from the unlimited resources of our good Heavenly Father. So we've seen the foundation for this verse. Consider with me now the formula of this verse. Look at verse number 12 again. Let's just break it down tonight. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Let's just break it down tonight. Let's take a pure examination of what Jesus is saying. Because this is different from most every other philosopher and religion that we find, because it is fundamentally positive, not negative. In other words, a lot of philosophies and a lot of religions espouse what we might call the silver rule. And it's basically do no harm. Buddhism has a saying in their book that says, "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." Hinduism similarly says, "One should never do that to another which one regards as injurious to one's own self." Judaism and some of their commentary on the Old Testament says this: what is hateful for you, do not to your fellow. This is the whole Torah. Grecian philosophers put it this way: avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. Philosophers from the continent or from the country of India put it this way: do not do to others what you know has hurt yourself. Egyptian philosophers and scholars put it this way: that which you hate to be done to you, do not do to another. And this is what we might call the silver rule, because it basically says, don't hurt people. Don't steal, that would hurt people. Don't gossip, because that hurts people. Don't manipulate. If you wouldn't want it done to you, don't do it to them. Don't do it to them. I tell you, that thought, okay, you shouldn't hurt people, right? But how many of us recognize that the calling that we have as Christians, it goes so far beyond do no harm. It goes so far beyond just don't do bad things. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, as citizens of the King, we are not called to just avoid the negative, but to seek the positive. You'll remember what Jesus said of those who are persecuted and their enemies back in chapter number 5. He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The Apostle Paul reminded us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And so what are we called to do? Not just live a life of no harm, but look at what Jesus says. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. So King Jesus asks us to think. We can do that tonight, right? What kind of things do you like people to do to you? What kind of things do you like people to do for you? What kind of things do you like people to do with you? How do you positively like to be treated? And so King Jesus calls us to stop, to honestly take account, to take an inventory, if you would, of your pleasures, of your passions, of your perspective, of that which empowers you, of that which motivates you. And this positive examination should lead us to a positive execution. In other words, Jesus says, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In other words, you and I are not called to live a passive existence, but to live lives that make a practical, positive impact on this world. That you and I aren't just called to do no harm, that you and I are called to think, to actively, consciously think, what would encourage people? What would bring people joy? What would encourage them to walk with God, draw them closer to God? What would be a blessing to somebody? How can I do good and then do it? And then do it. You and I are called to make a practical, positive impact on this world for the cause of Jesus Christ. Or to put it simply, you and I are called to look for opportunities to do things for others that you know would be a blessing to you. Can I read you a verse that convicts me, deeply convicts me every time I read it? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, as we have therefore, opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. as we have opportunity. You know what my problem is? My problem is not that I lack opportunity. The problem is I don't look for it that often. This verse stops us in our tracks. All those things you wish people would do to you. Boy, I wish so-and-so would be my friend. Well, as we have, therefore, opportunity. It stops us in our tracks because it's not just we go through life and don't hurt people. It's not that we just go through life and don't bully or manipulate people. No, it's we go through life with eyes wide open, walking in spiritual discernment. You remember the pigs and pearls thing? Saying, God, give me opportunity. Ooh, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. As we have opportunity. In a pure examination of this verse, it demands a positive, practical execution of this truth. This is a way of life. This is a way of thinking. This is a way of spirit-filled living. That our desire, our expectation of others should be our own standard of living toward them, regardless of how they live toward us. A couple of words here get me. Verse number 12, it says, therefore, in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12, it says, therefore, all things. Therefore, I'm going to tell you, when I stop think about all the things that I like when people do to me, I'm like, all things, really? Whew. Those words get me. There's also some words that are not there that I, in my flesh, wish were there. It says, do ye even so to them. And I want to say, Lord, don't you know who them are? I mean, some of them are okay. Some of them, this would be good. But Lord, don't you know who all of them are? I don't know that I want to live this way towards all of them. But the golden rule here, it doesn't come with an asterisk. It doesn't come with an exemption clause. It simply states, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do to them. Do to them. Regardless of how they live toward you. You know, if we live that way, I don't know that we would ever get our feathers ruffled again because Sister So-and-so didn't talk to me. If we live that way, I don't know that we would ever get our feathers ruffled again because Brother So-and-so sat in my pew. I don't know that we would carry all the baggage of so-and-so didn't say hi to me or so-and-so won't forgive me or so-and-so didn't compliment me today. Because my focus has shifted from what I can get to what I can give. Can we go to the advanced class tonight? Here's the thought, all right? This is the advanced class. Sunday night, we can handle it. Jesus says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. All right, so I'm filtering all of this and I'm thinking all of this through. I'm taking inventory of all of the things that I want people to do for me. All the things that bless me. All the things that bring me joy and that bless my soul. But what if instead of running the filter through me, I took a little extra time and tried to put myself in, well, if I were my spouse, what would be a blessing to me? If I were my boss, what would be a blessing to me? I mean, you have a spouse, many of us in this room. Hopefully, we know enough about them that we could run that scenario. If I were my neighbor, what would really be a blessing to me? And we put ourselves in as best as we can in the other person's shoe. And instead of thinking about all the things that bless me, now I can think of them in terms of my wife or my husband. I can think of them in terms of my neighbor, of my boss. If you're a young person, if I were a kids, you three especially, if I were a parent, I mean, right? If I were a parent, how would I bless me? What would bless me? I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I even think you can put the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. Hold on. How could you respond in such a way that would be a blessing to God tonight? You see, this goes way beyond just passing through life and not hurting people. This goes way beyond the every now and then having an occasion to do a little something. No, this is a lifestyle where I seek to live in such a way that I could be a blessing and love somebody regardless of how they live towards me. That's the formula. Jesus here, he builds this thing of, this is a summary of true righteousness, if you will. And we look at this and how true righteousness manifests itself in a life. We've seen the foundation. You know, it does require proper conduct and character. It does require proper confidence. Because I'm going to tell you, I can't live that if I don't have confidence in God. Can't do it. We see the formula of this verse. A pure examination leads to a positive execution. But here's what I want you to see. Look at verse number 12 one more time. The Bible says, therefore all things. Would you read it with me? Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I want you to see finally tonight the fruit of this verse. What this does, first of all, is it produces the heart of the righteous law. I'll tell you, this thing of the golden rule, it isn't just a good idea to work in as we go. No, this verse Jesus teaches, it encapsulates the heart of the scriptures. It encapsulates all of the law and the prophets. That we are called to love God, to love one another. I'm going to tell you, that statement in and of itself isn't that complicated, is it? But the execution of that, the calling of that, the impact of that is monumental. You remember what Jesus responded when he was asked of the lawyer in Matthew chapter number 22, beginning in verse 36, which was the greatest commandment? Jesus' response in verse number 37, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Verse number 38, Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second, he said, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But notice the summary in verse 40. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, this, ladies and gentlemen, this encapsulates the heart of what God desires from me. And this, that all things, whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do ye even so to them, is my truly righteous response, both to my king and to my culture. To look at Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 8, Paul wrote this. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And you see, the fruit of this verse is it produces a heart of the righteous law, because it produces a heart of real love. It produces a heart of real love. You know, we summarized the formula that we were called to seek the highest good for others. Without expectation of reciprocation or return. Just all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do to them. That you and I should live our lives in such a way that we seek the highest good for another. Without expectation of reciprocation or return. Church, this is love. This is love. To unselfishly seek the highest good of another. This church is the outworking of Christ's true righteousness in us. Do you want to please God tonight? Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love him. Do you want to change the world tonight? You want to change the world tonight to be the light, to be the salt, to be the impact that God placed us here to be. Do you want to change your world tonight? Love others. Consider what Paul wrote of love in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. He listed all these things, speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And he ultimately ended up, though I give my body to be burned, though I make the ultimate sacrifice. And he said, if I have not love, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. This idea that we would live our lives to seek the highest good for others without expectation of reciprocation or return. This is love. It's love. It's love. Church, it won't always be easy. It won't always be easy to love people like this. Sometimes the people you're called to love aren't that lovable. Sometimes the sacrifice we're called to make to love is painful in and of itself. It won't always be easy. I'll give you this one too. It won't always be appreciated. You know, I have to say in my own heart and life, there have been times when people sought my highest good and I haven't appreciated it one bit. Because it wasn't what I wanted. It didn't feel good. Won't always be appreciated. But for those of us who seek to live for the King, those of us who know the King, for those of us who love the King, for those of us who want to follow the King, this will always be our calling. This will always be our consecration. This will always be our cause. Now, I'm going to tell you this, the golden rule. That therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, this golden rule. I tell you what, if we let it, it would without a doubt change our world. Can you imagine how inescapably powerful it would be if we as the church entered our community and lived every day loving others as we ourselves have been loved by God? Could you imagine what a difference that would make in our world? If we consciously, purposefully, every day as we had opportunity, lived to love others like God has loved us. I tell you, it would change our world. But I want to leave you tonight with a challenge, okay? Before we go off and change our world, I want us to take this verse back home and let it change our homes. Young people, I want you to take this verse and take it to school with you and let it change your school. How about we take this verse to work with us in the morning and we let it change our workplace? Here's one. How about we bring it back to church with us Wednesday night and let it change our church? It's practical. It's positive. It's powerful. That all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Church, now you know. And now that we know, it's time for you and I to go and do.